Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. This episode contains spoilers for scenario number 72 and scenario number 48. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 8, class number 13, and class number 16. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, once again, cursing the name of Matthew G. Summers. Welcome back to Misadventures, everyone. It's good to have you back on our regularly scheduled sessions. My name is Casey. I am playing Sherlock Stones, the Elementalist.
This is Skip. I am playing Maytal, the Quattral Soothsinger.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as the Quartermaster, Brittany.
And if you're wondering where Garrett is, he was unable to attend this session, and we just kept on trucking without him. We had to soldier on.
I mean, you kept on trucking off the side of a cliff, but no, go ahead.
Whoa.
You know, we did do so. We decided to do some side scenario stuff so he wouldn't miss out on the main storyline. And we're like, you know what? We haven't done the town records book in a while. And we were hung up on a scenario there. Let's go do that. Even though it's called Oozing Grove and we hate oozes, let's just bite the bullet and go ahead and get it through so we can keep progressing in this book. Little did we know that this scenario was guest designed by one Matthew G. Summers. And Matthew, I don't want to poop on you. I really don't. I just need you to make a good scenario and we can all be happy.
Well, so here's the thing, right? I don't know that he makes bad scenarios. He makes very difficult scenarios.
But like, everybody who plays this game knows oozes are just the worst, and he's like, hey, man, I'm just going to make a really tough scenario with oozes. Just oozes everywhere, and if they kill all the oozes, I'm going to make more oozes.
I wonder if that's his crutch. We should go back and look at all his scenarios and discover he's the only one who ever did the ooze ones.
He created the ooze monster.
Oh, man. So anyway, we go to this grove. It's one big giant room. It's like the three biggest room tiles in the game all stuck together to form one giant room. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of oozes and forest imps and giant vipers there. And then there's these three trees. And each round, one of the trees makes an elite ooze. I guess it went elite normal. But like each round, another ooze is coming into play. And yep. You start in the middle of the whole room and things are swarming in all around you. And also these trees had like
28 health or something.
Was it 28? Yeah, they had a lot of hit points, like over 20 hit points apiece. It was annoying. And you have to cross the room to get to them. And meanwhile, more oozes are spawning all over the place. We had initially talked about how we were going to handle this. And we could either go to the sides and try to tuck ourselves into a corner and get a little bit of pressure off of us, or we can just try to attack the middle tree right here that's right in front of us. Which is Casey's idea. And if we take down a tree quickly, we get a little bit of breathing room that way.
That was a thinking, anyways.
That was my idea.
Yeah.
However, I definitely agree that I agreed going to the side rooms was the better idea. I just wasn't sure if we were going to be able to get there.
Right, and I think
that's, and then the first round was really rough for that approach of getting there.
Yeah, because you don't have much in the way of jump as an elementalist, do you?
I have zero unless I generate a bunch of elements and then I can do it once off of a move.
Yeah,
I don't have big move either. I didn't at the beginning of that or in that scenario. I think I took my one move six out for some reason because I just didn't think we weren't going to try for the side.
And either side only had like one tile you could get through without obstacles, and there was always enemies there. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of what made the decision for us.
And then there's also like, if you do move into the side room, my concern was getting back out because again, we don't have a lot of jump. And if you've got two rooms behind you spawning enemies and they're coming in, like it's just going to be rough.
Yeah.
I did have a new toy to play with in this scenario though. And I forget the name of the card right offhand, but basically what it does on the top is I can burn. It's the little triangle hex pattern, and it deals 2 damage to everything in range 3 in those hexes. But if I burn a dark and any other element, I can just kill any normals there.
And you stretched out with that one in this scenario.
Yeah. There's a lot of normals, and my quartermaster friend can let me keep getting that card back.
Yep.
So I did, and many things died this scenario. Way more than the like 15 things that are start on the board. I probably killed at least 20 oozes in this scenario, and it just didn't matter.
We still got overwhelmed. Yeah.
I think also another thing is I was still kind of timid as to playing a second song. I think I was playing it wrong. Every time I needed a rest, I would not pull the two cards back in to give me a full extra turn. So in this one, I only had one song out, and we didn't even go with the Retaliate because most of the things were ranged. So, I mean, I really didn't offer a lot of beneficial stuff. I had a couple of decent attacks, but, you know, I think I was actually healing more than I was doing much of anything, and they weren't even that good at heals.
It's, yeah. It. I mean, the scenario is a rough scenario on its own. Especially because, almost everything has range, with the exception of the Vipers. And some of them had, like, target two cards they were pulling, so...
Oh, that's right. Like, early on, two enemies, the first two turns got target twos, and that just was tearing through us because we were surrounded and we couldn't get out of the, like, we could not get enough separation to stop them.
Yeah. I was pitching cards to stay alive kind of thing. And I almost never have lost cards. So we ran out of steam before we could get to the, we actually destroyed one tree.
We did.
And I think we got up next to the other. I thought we destroyed the center tree.
No, we destroyed the tree on the far left. Remember, we eventually, like, we have to move, and we went over there and took out that tree.
Yeah. But we just didn't have the steam to keep going.
No, we ran out of cards. I mean, we did eventually, after we took out that tree, the tide started to turn a little bit. We were able to kind of kill some oozes and start working our way back to the middle room, but we didn't have the cards to keep going. Yeah. We tried discussing afterwards, like, what could we have done better? And, like, the only thing we could think of was, like, to tuck into a little ball near, like, get to a corner next to the one of the corner trees, tuck into a little group, and basically I dish out a bunch of damage. The
Soothsinger?
Soothsinger dishes out heals, and the quartermaster
just keeps letting us
get cards back. We basically form this, like, turret in the corner and kill stuff until we can move again and take out the tree, and then we just use the quartermaster and all our potions to cheese not running out of cards for a long time. But we did not want to play this scenario a second time. Nothing fun was going on in the scenario at all.
But a light spoiler, we have used that technique and it does work really well.
It does. And we'll get to that in a moment, and we will revisit, well, I'll say we, the team revisits this scenario later and has more success, but we just couldn't do it again tonight.
Yeah, this was our first campaign loss, you guys.
Yeah, in the main campaign, yeah.
Yeah, it's stung.
Nice.
And it came at the hands of Matthew G. Summers.
As we all knew it would.
That oozing bastard. Then we needed to take a bit of a break from that embarrassment and chat down on some grub. And oh man, I was happy about everything going on tonight, food-wise.
So this week we were doing coconut chicken curry. It was actually my first time making curry.
I love some curry.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with how it came out. Just served it with rice. I'd thrown in like slivered almonds with the rice, and they softened up a bit.
Yeah, that worked well.
A little bit of crunch.
I truly would not have guessed that was your first time to make that, by the way. That was really tasty.
I got the devil's luck when it comes to cooking. Nobody knows. however, holy crap, Skip, your dessert.
Yeah,
this is the first time I actually had to cook it at your place, because normally I'd make it ahead of time and bring it in, and we'd either have to eat it early or whatever. So I brought all this stuff over and made a pineapple upside down cake, and all the pineapple and, you know, sugary gooiness, what I had to do right there, and it turned out pretty well.
Oh, my top God, ice cream. It was so good.
It was so good. You know what the best part about all this was? Garrett wasn't there to eat any of it, so that meant I got more.
You're a monster.
Wow. Wow. That's fine.
Anyway, after eating on some food, we decided to go do the
Shadow Wield.
Shadow Weld. Okay, and that one actually was okay. So we had done the path with Charles, right?
There, yeah, this was the end of the Charles path. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was like a side branch off of it. There was kind of two ways you could go after the first scenario. We decided to go wrap that whole arc up.
Yeah.
That was a cool, like, we kind of stumbled into a boss fight actually, which was kind of cool. Mm. We got to fight against the Dark Rider, who was kind of like, he would come in and do attacks on his horse, and then he would kind of disappear off the map again. It was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, they had like six hexes sort of set around the map. And by the way, the map was like the two large rectangles smashed together into one giant room.
Yeah.
And so there's hexes kind of spread around the outside of it where he would just spawn in the next time he spawned. And I think his rule was like when he did a melee attack, he'd vanish and then pop back in through one of these. And we used that sequence to pretty good advantage for us.
Yeah, we did. Beyond the Dark Rider, there's also Heroine, Festers, Earth Demons, and Forest Imps in this scenario.
Yep.
And so it was interesting because all you had to do is kill the Dark Rider, but you had to position yourself in spaces where he would not hit you when he spawned in so that he would be on the board long enough for you to deal damage.
Mm-hmm.
He had some kind of special attack, didn't he? Like he charged or whatever and did damage per spaces?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
That was nasty.
So his damage would equal like the movement he ran plus two or something like that.
Ugh.
Yeah, so he could hit real hard if you let him.
And that's why knowing where he was going to spawn was good, because then like I could kind of put myself in front of that so I'd be the targeted party. He also had an ability that would spawn more forest imps, I believe.
Yes, he would. And so this map, we had a plan, and the plan initially was to
turtle up in the corner, like we talked about in the Using Grove.
Yeah.
And but let's just do that here.
Yeah, but we ended up turtling up in the dead center of the map because that's where we spawned, and there was like a nice tree kind of protecting the backside of that.
This is after I charged out, remember?
Yes. We started to move and everything kind of closed really fast, and we realized, holy crap, we're not going to make it to that corner. And you ended up pulling back.
Yeah.
Which worked out fantastically, honestly. Yeah.
It did. So we got so clustered up that... So again, I was trying to use my ability to kill normals, right? Mm-hmm. And then Steve would kind of keep me going. And that worked a little bit, but he kept spawning imps, and then they kept moving in. Like, we got entirely surrounded in the middle of the map. Like, we were so surrounded, the Dark Rider could not use his abilities to leave because he could not get to us to hit us. Because there was so many things for him to go through.
The other nice thing, early on, Skip actually put out the wound song. Because I remember us talking about that, so we could wound the Dark Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think you followed it up with Retaliate?
Yeah, this was really the first time I started playing it as best I could with the two songs. And, you know, when you weren't giving Casey the extra card back, you'd give it to me to help me stay, you know, a little bit longer. And that helped out so much. And I realized, okay, these two songs, depending on the situation, they work out really well, whether it's Retaliate and Wound, or I think I ended up backing the wound out because we basically wounded everything we needed to and went with the Retaliate and Shield or Retaliate and Disadvantage. And that works out really well in combination.
It was real nice. We were hitting back on these dudes real hard.
And then he had a little bit of a moment.
Yeah, so like the second spawn point, boss comes out, spawns some imps, the imps close around us. So we're completely surrounded. We have a tree to our backs. Casey's looking at the scene. He's nestled away, like nothing can get next to him because me and Skip are next to him and then tree on the other side. And he's looking at the scene and just starts smiling.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there trying to figure out what my best attack is because, again, I'm trying to kill a bunch of normals, right? And I'm trying to see if I can get all three in a pattern. And then I just noticed that, okay, so I have a card. It's a loss. It's an attack 4 on everything at exactly range 2 from me. And I start noticing there's a lot of things at range 2 from me. In fact, we're so surrounded, there are 8 things at range 2 from me. And so it's already an attack 4. And then I believe I got a plus one from something the quartermaster had out.
Yeah.
And then I used a power potion to give me another plus two. I would did an attack seven on eight different enemies at one time. I ended up doing, I think, 58 or 59 points of damage.
It was nuts. You killed five of them, I believe.
So many imps died that day.
Pretty heavily injured the rest.
So before that, before you actually did that, because there was no way I could have done this before you cleared out the entire area. This was the one time my I can't remember. It's basically curse all creatures within range three and give all of our allies within range three a blessing.
Yes.
I used up every single curse in the deck. I hit every single one of them.
Yeah,
and it was pretty great. Put that in their deck, and only to be followed up by Casey smashing them into the dirt. That worked out really well.
And then like multiple rounds of things attacking us and just missing every single time. Because there's so many curses in the deck.
Yep.
And after that, and that hit the Dark Rider too, because he was two away. So he took a big hit from that. So many of the imps died. We were able to kind of finish them off over the next turn or two. And then the Dark Rider, he only spawned out twice. Like he comes down on the third time.
Well, we were hitting him. We were doing retaliate damage.
We had him wounded.
And then the third time was amazing because he died off the wound damage.
He did. Oh, poor guy. Just trying to do his thing. Did he actually? He disappears and then just kind of never comes back because he, at the start of his turn, he gets wounded. It was such a flip. Like the first scenario, we were just overwhelmed the whole time and nothing was working. And then this scenario, it's just like all of us were just at peak efficiency. Everything we wanted to do was done. And then
you did probably one of your best plays in the game so far.
Yeah, like I can't foresee outdoing that. Like hopefully so, but like it was just silly. It was so sililly.
Yeah.
So Operation Turtle Up worked pretty well for the group this evening, and we only ended up getting the two scenarios in this time, mainly because getting our butts kicked on the Oozing Grove took a little bit of time.
Yeah, it was rough, but I'm glad the night ended the way it did on this like a boss fight note.
It was a good boss fight, and we got some decent rewards out of it. Kind of helped boost some stuff there. So this quest line was a part of Hale kind of was helping us remove corruption from this vessel, and that split off into three different lines, and we've now completed one of them and we've got two to go. So we'll be looking to kind of close that up over the next couple of weeks. So definitely join us for that as we continue on in the weeks going forward. We're getting really close to finishing up, I think, the main quest line, by the way. Like, there's not as much left as I would like to imagine there is.
But there's always
the sticker book is very empty.
I mean, if we need it, we can probably talk to Matthew G. Summers.
Oh, my God.
Get us to get some new scenarios made up special for us. He could use the practice.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. I think we've all learned a valuable lesson, and that is you just aren't any good without me.
Except when we're doing boss fights.
Yeah.
We'll see about that next week. But, you know, as always, guys, thanks for joining us. You can get us on Twitter at GPub Radio, and not GamerPublicRadio.com. That's our other podcast, MisAdventuresPodcast.com, where you can get links to all of our socials and contact information. And we'll see you next Wednesday for the next episode.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.